I've often wondered how the disciples of Jesus got along, for they all seem to be so different from each other. And this is relevant, perhaps, in this post-election weekend. Relevant, perhaps, also as ministers and elders go to the General Assembly in Edinburgh next weekend. For we are all so different in our political thinking, in our theologies, in our ideologies. But these disciples, what about them? Well, we don't have much information on the disciples in the Gospels, really. They're often there as part of the story, as a literary device, which helps us ultimately to understand who Jesus Christ is. But what little information we have points to them as individuals, with their own personalities and flaws and tendencies. We probably feel that we know Peter, the best of all the disciples. We know him as the one who acts and speaks before he thinks. But we also know him as the one who got out of the boat and walked towards Jesus on the water. And then there is Thomas, who we read about only a few weeks ago. Thomas, the one who doubts that Jesus is risen from the dead, because he was not there in the room when Jesus appeared to the other disciples. Thomas is also the one who determines to go to Jerusalem with Jesus and is prepared to die with him if that is necessary. There are James and John, nicknamed by Jesus as the Sons of Thunder. I wonder why he gave them that name. They come to Jesus seeking to be given the best seats in the kingdom of heaven. And there is Andrew, who brings the small boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus. Different personalities, different behavioural styles. The headstrong Peter, the brave yet cynical Thomas, the ambitious James and John, the optimistic Andrew. Jesus accepts all of them as his disciples and calls them his friends. Politically, I think there must have been big differences between the disciples as well. For there is Matthew, who had been a tax collector and hated for it. He had worked for the Romans on their behalf. How did he get along with Simon the Zealot, whose very name tells us that he was prepared to do almost anything to free his people from the Romans who ruled over them? All of these people and the rest, they spent time together around Jesus, their leader, who walked with them and taught them and showed them how to live. Our reading from the Gospel today takes place at the last meal which Jesus and his disciples would have together. Our reading is part of a long discourse given by Jesus as they sit around the table, in which he shares his wisdom with them and tells them what is going to happen, although they don't understand. He tells them he is going away, but he will come back again for them. But this news that he is going away is not what the disciples want to hear. It is, however, why Jesus has told them to remain in him, to stay close to him, so that they might bear fruit. That was the last week's reading. And this week's reading continues within that passage, moves on from the image of Jesus as the vine and God the Father as the gardener. For now Jesus commands them to love one another. If he is going away, Jesus, the gel which holds the group together, how are they going to manage after he is gone? How are they going to manage when they are all so different, when they have opposing political ideals, when they argue and fight amongst each other, even when Jesus is there with them? The answer is that they are to love one another. Jesus commands it, and Jesus doesn't command much else. Yes, he gives imperatives. He says, love your enemies. Repent of your sins and believe in the good news. And in reply to the question from the teachers of religious law as to which is the most important commandment, he answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. But this one time he begins by saying, I am giving you a new commandment, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. How has Jesus loved them? He has walked with them. He has spent this part of his life with them. He has washed their feet, a job which a servant ought to do. He has served them. They will love one another as they serve each other. But more than that, as Jesus says in his speech, he will lay down his life for them. Greater love has no one than they lay down their life for their friends. And Jesus is soon to do this. They are to be prepared to put the needs of their friends before their own, to stop being selfish and self-promoting, and to look to meet the needs of the other. Love one another. The command comes to us from Christ, to this generation. Love each other. Love one another. It's more than just being nice to one another. It's considering each other as family, bound together through the good times and the bad. This command to love is not a feeling. It is an action. So although we may not feel loving towards a person, although we might not like them, although we might even cross the street to avoid them, they are our sister or brother in Christ, and we are to love them and to serve them and to allow them to serve us. For this is our family. Let us love one another. How far does this love stretch? The disciples were to find that this love was to spread throughout the world as they knew it. When we move into the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and find Peter there in our reading today, he is coming to terms with the realization that the gospel is not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, for the non-Jews as well. He has been sent for by a Roman army officer called Cornelius, a devout, God-fearing man. But as a Gentile, he and his family are not circumcised. They probably eat food which Peter would deem to be unclean. Yet the Holy Spirit falls on them too. The love and friendship of Jesus Christ is available to all people. And if we were to read the whole story from chapter 10, we would find Peter struggling to come to terms with this. Peter would not have chosen the people we find in the passage today, but God did, and welcomed them into his family. Just as the disciples did not choose Jesus, but he chose them and welcomed them. Just as we did not choose Christ, but Christ chose us and welcomes us. Who then for us are the people beyond our own circles, the ones whom we would not consider? Who are the people beyond the church family which meets here? Who are the people beyond the Church of Scotland, beyond the people of this island, beyond Christianity? Who are we being challenged to accept, and to whom are we asked to extend the hand of friendship, to welcome as part of the family of God? We've heard a little bit about the work of Christian Aid, and perhaps that is challenging us to raise our eyes above our own world and to look further afield, look to the people who are also part of God's family in a faraway place. We've heard about the work that they do in providing women who are single with a cow so that they are not the poorest and the most marginalised people. So during this week, as you give to Christian Aid, it helps to know some of the work that they do. And it helps us to understand about the horizons and how God lifts our eyes to see further and to include others. But one more thing to say. In the midst of this passage, there is a little nugget as well, which we sometimes miss. But in the midst of it, we find the word joy. The command to love each other and to love others is not to be followed simply out of duty. It is in response to God's love as we remain in Christ. And in this we find joy. Jesus speaks of joy as he speaks about his leaving, as he faces his own death. Joy in the midst of pain. He says, I have told you these things so that you will have joy, joy to the overflowing. So in loving, there is joy. The two go hand in hand. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing a song of joy, which is born out of love for one another. Amen.